You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Climate scientists have been shouting it from the rooftops for years now. Climate change is the defining issue of our century. It threatens the very existence of humankind. Our efforts to control climate change have centered pretty much on reducing emissions of carbon dioxide into the air. But scientists like my next guest are saying, sorry, everyone, reducing carbon emissions is just not enough. They want to step up efforts to actually remove carbon dioxide that's in our atmosphere, negative emissions. John DiCicco is a research professor at the University of Michigan Energy Institute, and he's been leading the way developing a new initiative called Beyond Carbon Neutral. And yes, we as individuals can play a role in this. John DiCicco, welcome to Stateside.
Great to be here, Cynthia.
So just trying to reduce emissions isn't cutting it.
Well, we're not making progress as fast as we need to, that's for sure. You know, the issue has been discussed for decades. I personally first started working on the climate problem in really 1988, which was when Jim Hansen testified about it before Congress. And that was a wake-up call. And for years, we've been saying, well, to really keep the worst effects of global warming from happening, to keep the atmospheric carbon levels from building up to where we have some kind of runaway global warming, we have to get started soon and begin cutting emissions. Well, I was giving talks about that 30 years ago about ways to cut emissions. I'm an energy expert, and of course, cutting emissions has a lot to do with energy efficiency and then solar energy. I actually got my start in solar energy, and I won't tell you how long ago that was, but we still need to do that. Obviously, cutting emissions is really important, keeping the excess carbon that comes from largely fossil fuel use from going up into the air where the concentration is rising. But at this point, it's clear that's not going to be enough.
Why is that clear?
Because, first of all, we're already at 400 parts per million. We've passed 400 parts per million. So that's 0.04% of our atmosphere is now CO2. Now, that doesn't sound like much. But over the whole period that humans and life as we knew it today evolved over the last half million years, carbon in the atmosphere went between 200 and 300 parts per million. So that's what all our ecosystems are adapted to. That's what we're adapted to. That's what our landscapes and our coastlines are adapted to. And we're already into the danger zone. So it's time to not just redouble our efforts to reduce emissions, but we have to start sucking CO2 out of the air. And that's what this project is about.
So what's involved with the Beyond Carbon Neutral Initiative? So here we are saying, nope, we got to remove it as well as reduce it.
That's right. One of the most important things to keep in mind is nature provides us with some great mechanisms for removing CO2. After all, carbon is the fuel of life. All life is based on carbon chemistry, organic chemistry. That's in chemical terms, that's what organic means, carbon-based. And plants are the primary way that we get carbon from the atmosphere through photosynthesis. The formula is basically plants, sunlight, plus water, plus some nutrients, pull carbon out of the air. That's how forests grow. That's how crops grow. Algae, which can be beneficial in natural settings, but algae blooms, they're sucking CO2 out of the air in Lake Erie. Not a good thing. Natural systems already pull a lot of carbon out of the air on an annual basis, and that's called the global carbon cycle. The global warming problem is because we're putting excess emissions up into the air, largely from fossil fuel burning, also some from tropical deforestation, faster than these natural processes pull it out. So if we can step that up, if we can help nature, and in fact, in some cases, let nature just do its thing, that will be very beneficial. And Michigan is a great place to begin thinking about this.
I'm hearing trees.
You're seeing trees and hearing trees.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the saying goes, let's not lose track of the forest for the trees. But Michigan was largely covered with forest before it was settled and before we chopped the forest down. And initially for timber, it was a big timber state, still a timber state, and now cropland. But throughout the country, our agricultural productivity means we've been able to actually grow enough food to feed ourselves and feed much of the world with less land. And that's a good thing. So cropland is very good at pulling carbon out of the air. Of course, we eat it and it goes back up. So we could let parts of the state begin to reforest. We could manage the forests that we have to help them suck up and park more carbon. And that is probably the most tangible thing we can do pretty much anywhere in the country right now and other parts of the world that were once naturally forested. And it's certainly a great opportunity for the state of Michigan to begin managing its forests in a way that just helps soak up CO2.
And that strikes me as something that individuals who care about this and who think about what the world could be like for their grandkids or their great-grandkids, people can get involved in an effort like this.
That's absolutely right. And I want to talk about one of the projects we've started here at the University of Michigan. The initiative, what we're calling Beyond Carbon Neutral, is interdisciplinary, meaning we've got faculty members and students from all across the university working on different projects related to this. One of the projects that's being carried out at the School of Natural Resources and Environment is working with local forest owners. In Michigan, we don't have big expanses of, say, national forest like some other parts of the country.
Like out west.
Out west. I mean, we have some, but the vast majority of the forest tracts in our state are tracts held by private landowners who, in some cases, are just keeping them. In some cases, they might be doing a little bit of timber harvest for sales or other reasons. A couple of the professors at the School of Natural Resources and Environment, Paige Fisher and Bill Curry, have launched a project to begin talking to local forest owners, private landowners in the state, to learn what their current needs are, talk to them about the opportunities for storing more carbon in their forests and helping the world become a little more beyond carbon neutral that way, and figuring out how, in a very practical way, to make it work for, in this case, ordinary forest owners. So that's a very tangible kind of a project that they just launched. We just launched these projects this past year, and we'll hopefully have some results within less than another year from now.
I'm talking with John DiCicco, a research professor with the University of Michigan Energy Institute, looking at their new initiative called Beyond Carbon Neutral, not just settling for reducing carbon emissions, but actually sucking carbon out of our atmosphere. How do you energize, John, people who will look at the overall lack of fast progress? Here you say you've been preaching this for 30 years. They see it become a political football, and they kind of figure, I don't know, there's nothing I can do. The ship has sailed. And I hear you say, no, the ship has not sailed. We need to get urgent about it. But how do you energize people to realize there is a role they can play?
Well, I think we actually have to start with education in a lot of ways, especially about the opportunities to remove carbon from the air. A lot of people have heard about tree planting as a good thing to do, and that's in a lot of ways what we're talking about here. In some cases, it's not gotten, I would say, the level of attention compared to, say, building windmills, which, you know, is a good thing, obviously, if we can replace more of our coal power with wind power, which is relevant here in Michigan. That's going to reduce emissions. But part of our initiative is going to be educational in that regard, to let people know that here's some things that can be done. And many of these initiatives, especially when it comes to working with forests or grasslands or restoring wetlands is another way to help, are less costly. We tend sometimes to think too much about these big technologies that maybe the utility companies have to do, but they're a little bit less tangible. You can even bring it back to your yard for those of people who have yards in suburban yards. I personally have a bit of property just outside of Ann Arbor in Webster Township. Even before we started this formal initiative Beyond Carbon Neutral, my wife grows the vegetables and I've made it my personal hobby to try to plant trees to restore what was probably an old pasture before the homes got built on it and nurture trees and that kind of a thing. In fact, some other professors also at SNRE at Landscape Architecture looked at the opportunities for sequestering carbon in just suburban landscapes by planting a few trees, by taking better care of your lawn. Things like that are real opportunities for people. And one of the most important things that I like to keep in mind as someone who's worked on energy issues for really just about my whole career is small, tangible steps matter. Sometimes now when we hear about the global climate problem and we hear, say, about the Paris Conference of the Parties and how, you know, the gloom and doom and how much has to be done to save the world, it can be very disempowering. But to get to that, say, 100 million tons of carbon that we might want to reduce or take out of the air, you have to start with 1 ton somewhere else and 2 tons and 10 tons. And that is really how we make progress on any environmental problem, really on any social problem. A good rule of thumb for forests in this area is an acre of well-managed forest land can sequester a ton of carbon per year and do so for 100 years. There's ways to do this that make sense, and I think we need to educate people about that a lot more. We need to educate policymakers who might be, say, skeptical of some of these other big picture things, but might see tangible benefits for their communities with beyond carbon neutral type projects.
Now, you mentioned this is beyond carbon neutral is an interdisciplinary effort. So what about some of the technical and engineering brains?
Absolutely.
What kinds of things are coming up? Again, as we say, we're talking about actually removing carbon from the atmosphere.
On the engineering side, we have a number of initiatives underway. Some of it starts with very fundamental laboratory work where we have folks looking at catalysts. Those are special chemicals that help make reactions happen more easily. CO2 in the air, it's kind of the end state of combustion and other reactions. When we burn fuels, we release energy, and the end product is CO2. So it takes often a lot of energy to convert that CO2 back into some stable form, some carbon compound, and that's where new catalysts come in. So we have chemical engineers working with things at that level. We also have people looking at how to do this with microbes. Bacteria. We're taking kind of a microecological approach to it. A professor at the university by the name of Nina Lin is looking at how communities of microbes can work together and be more effective at pulling CO2 out of the air and converting it into a stable form than perhaps an individual microbe. Let me give another example.
Yeah, give me another. Well, I understand. Is there some kind of concrete being developed that
That was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes. Normally, when concrete is made, it ends up releasing CO2. The amount of CO2 from concrete making worldwide is, less than a billion metric tons of carbon compared to, say, more than 10 billion for fossil fuels, but it's still significant. On the other hand, it's possible to design concretes that pull CO2 out of the air. And that's what Professor Victor Lee is working on. The idea is that he can design these special concretes. We can build buildings out of them, and they will absorb CO2 and do it in such a way that it makes the concrete stronger. So there's some real fundamental...
Win-win, all over the place.
Right. There's some real new creative materials engineering that needs to happen there that he's working on. Again, this is not something like you can go do today, but it's one of the things that we're working on that we believe will be really valuable for the future.
Do you feel like you're racing against the clock?
Of course. I personally, working on this issue, feel like I've been racing against the clock for my whole career. You know, it's hard for me, as someone been working on this, to understate the urgency with which we have to deal with the climate crisis. And yes, that means reducing emissions. I mean, the other part, I work on a variety of projects. I work a lot on vehicle efficiency. That's in a whole other area that's relevant here in Michigan. But the beyond carbon neutral, because these kinds of carbon dioxide removal things have not gotten the attention that some of these other issues have. And also, some of them are not going to be as inherently as controversial, like regulating the auto industry. No industry likes to be regulated. We have to come to some kind of compromises there over and over again. I feel like, given the urgency of climate, this is something where we could be doing a lot more quickly, and engage people very creatively as well.
You can find out more information about the Beyond Carbon Neutral Initiative by going to the website of the University of Michigan Energy Institute, and that's energy.umich.edu. And that's where you will also find out about the seminar series that'll be happening. So anyone who wants to learn more and find out more is welcome to come to, is it a monthly?
Monthly seminars. That's right, Cynthia. In fact, on our website, go to the events portion and you'll see the postings for these seminars. We're going to have one a month throughout the winter term here.
John DiCicco, thank you so much for sharing your work with us on Stateside.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for your interest.